Amen. Thank God for the good singing this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would, turn with us to the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 25th chapter. A very, very familiar passage of Scripture. thank God for the wonderful Holy Spirit that we can feel this morning. Thankful for the good song service. Ask that you pray for us here for just a few minutes, that we'd be able to say and do just exactly what the Lord has laid on our heart. Familiar passage. We've used this several times in days gone by. But we feel like this is where the Lord has led us this morning. It's a very, very familiar parable that has great resemblance to we as the church today. With God's help, we want to preach this message this morning, and I hope that you're ready to meet Jesus. I hope that you're ready. But if you're not ready, I'm glad that you're here today. Amen. and I want you to know my Savior, Jesus Christ, before this day does draw to a close. In Matthew chapter number 25, I'm going to start reading verse number 1. The Scripture reads, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at the midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, Say not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Our Father, as we are bowed in thy presence, God, today, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word, God, that it's a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. We pray, Heavenly Father, God, that we would, Lord, surrender ourselves, God, submit ourselves, God, hide us behind the cross of Calvary this morning, that we not speak a word of ourselves, God, Lord, but we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would be endued with power from on high, God, that, Lord, I pray that we not speak with enticing words of man's wisdom, but we speak through the unction of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray, Lord, that you touch, Lord, these lips of clay, Lord, this heart of flesh, God, let it be transformed through the power of the Holy Ghost, God, today. I pray, God, for, Lord, the receiving ears, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd touch their minds, touch their hearts, touch their intellects. Lord, most of all, I pray, God, in the inner chambers of the heart, God, where only the Spirit of God has access. I pray, oh, God, Lord, that we'd open up, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you'd speak to us, God. We'd surrender all, Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you transform us through thy word. Heavenly Father, Lord, have your perfect will and your perfect way today. God, I pray most of all, as we've already mentioned, Lord, if there's one here that's never accepted Jesus as their Savior, I pray, oh God, Lord, that they just bow, bend a knee where they are. Heavenly Father, Lord, if they don't have enough strength and utterance, God, to make it to this altar, and Lord, I know that you can save them. Lord, even so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they just surrender their hearts, minds, and lives to thee. God, watch over us today. Bless Silver City Church. Lord, bless this hour of preaching, Lord. God, Heavenly Father, Lord, that it would be, Lord, for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, and Lord, not for the increase of man. If we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. As we look right here in this parable in the Gospel according to Matthew, we find where, and I'm going to read in several other different places this morning if the Lord will let us, but we look at this right here. Jesus is speaking a parable which has direct implications to the church today. And now listen, I want us to go through this. We're just going to walk through this verse by verse. I'm going to try my best not to preach, Lord, very long this morning. But I just want to say everything that the Lord would have us to. In verse number 1, the Bible said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. So here we have where Jesus starts the outset of this, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this story that I am fixing to tell you. So I want us to understand today, listen, there are parts of the scripture, and we talked about this several weeks ago, there are parts of the scripture that a lot of theologians, a lot of churchgoers, and a lot of people, Lord, that have understanding of the scripture, they hyper-literalize and they take things and they say, well, this has no allegorical meaning, and this is not a metaphor, and we must take this literally. But Jesus tells us this is a parable. This is the way the kingdom of heaven is, and I am likening it and comparing it unto this. Amen? So listen, a lot of people, listen, I've often said this. They say, well, preacher, you spiritualize the scripture. And I always get this confused look on my face. And I say, well, listen, I'm not of this world. Amen? Listen, the Bible tells us, Paul tells us in multiple locations. Listen, we understand this. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, if my hope were in this world only, I'd be of all men most miserable. Amen? Listen, we discuss this time and time again. Friends, listen to me. When Jesus spoke, the most spiritual implication that we have ever heard with our ears, as he said, you must be born again. So do we take that literally? Listen, Nicodemus did. He said, how can a man enter yet again into his mother's womb? And he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. Amen. So listen, as we look at this right here, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is shall be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Listen, as we read through this. So now, why do we have this implication of virgins? Because we are trying to derive here a variant of the church, which is without spot and without blemish. Amen? Now, as we look here, and I want us to understand this. Listen, there are 5 that are wise. There are 5 that are foolish. But the Bible tells us we have 10 virgins. So amen. So listen to me. Those among us that worship with us, that sing with us, that sin under the gospel, those that have been ordained, those that teach Sunday school, they are among us, but yet, listen, they don't know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. Oh, what a time that we've lived in to say, well, preacher, listen, I've never seen a time like this. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if we read the scripture, we've seen this and we've lived this since the beginning and the institution of the church. There are lost among us. Amen. We had this discussion. I marked this over here in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I feel like I ought to read this. We talked about this last Sunday evening in Bible study. And I want to point this out. Listen, in First Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, the Bible says, know ye not that ye are unrighteous? Who in here is unrighteous? Okay, now we're on the same page. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Amen? I want everybody with me. So listen, it says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. So what does that tell me? Listen, that tells me that every single person sitting on the sound of my voice right now, listen, you are guilty of hell. Amen. I am guilty of hell. Listen, but it gets better. Amen. So listen, the Bible says this, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Amen. So those, listen to me, and this is the point that we need to drive home. It was discussed once again in Sunday school this morning. Listen, we can judge the fruits of sin all we want. Amen. We can address the drug addictions and the alcoholisms, the pornography. Listen, the fornicators, the adulterers. We can address all these things, the homosexual relationships. Listen, the fruits of sin are endless. But listen, we need need to stop fighting the fruits of sin and start addressing the root of the sin and ask people, are you born again? Amen. We're dying on the wrong hill. Listen, and such were some of you, but you're washed. Amen. You're washed, but you are sanctified. Amen. Now listen to me. I'm glad, listen, and I'm going to read through the rest of this. Just let me read this before I start preaching again. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are justified, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. We're washed. Amen. What are we washed from? Listen, the impurities of our sin that were so great that we did not have. Listen, we don't have the ability to stand before God in our own righteousness, in our own intellect, in our own heart. Listen, we can never be good enough. The Bible tells us in the third chapter of the book of Romans, it said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Listen, we realize and we acknowledge our inabilities to redeem ourselves. Amen. If it were not for the blood of Jesus, we would all be determined into hell. But thank God that He loves us, amen, in spite of our sin. Well, friends, listen. He loved us before we ever were. Amen. Listen, this is oftentimes is incomprehensible for us. And listen, as we study, the implications of the theology, listen, surrounding salvation. Listen, we know and we understand this before the earth was ever formed. When it was without form and without void, Christ knew, that the created seed that would come through Adam and Eve would falter. He knew that they would fail. He knew that we would fall. He knew that our inabilities could not redeem us back to Him. So He, before the foundation of anything ever was, foreordained His Son, the incarnate of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Emmanuel, and we call Him Jesus. He came and He died for you before the world ever was. Amen. Well, listen. Listen. And such were some of you. Now, I got run out of a church in Lumpkin County one time for saying this. So I want you to listen to what I say. Okay? Drug addiction, alcoholism, whatever your addiction is. And all of us have one. Amen. If you choose to go forward in your life, in your Christian life, and you choose to claim recovery, amen. You know what I'm saying? If we constantly introduce ourselves as a recovering alcoholic, as a recovering sinner, that's a better terminology, amen. Because sin is a culmination of it all. If we constantly present ourselves as a recovering sinner, Kenny, you know the only thing we're doing? We're allowing our place to sin again. Because, listen, we're not claiming. Listen, those that have been washed, sanctified, and justified, you are no longer recovering. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore, all things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You are no longer recovering. You are born again. You are a new creature. Let go of the old pangs, for they have no dominion over you. Amen. Amen. Claim. Claim victory in your life. Amen. Just try it. Lord, I've got a problem. But God, I know I can have victory over my sin through Jesus. Amen. Well, I tell you what, listen, what will make a difference in our lives is when we get down and we pray. We don't say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. I'll tell you what will make a difference in our life when we get down and we start naming our sins. Specifically. God, I need help. I need you to touch me. I need deliverance, Lord. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord can and will. The Bible tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We can have ultimate victory and dominion over the sin of our lives if we so choose to. But that's the problem. We don't want to give it up. So listen, the Bible says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of our Lord. And the process of sanctification is a place in our lives. Listen, that is not a gradual filling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is the process of understanding who Christ is, what Christ has done for us, the sins in our lives that we should no longer engage in. The Bible tells us, for where much is given, much is also required. Amen. So the process of sanctification as we go through our lives, if we're still living the same life today that we are the day after we got saved, then the process of sanctification has not processed in our lives. Amen. Okay. Verse number 2. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, listen to this. Verse number 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Were these friends? Without question. Did they know each other? Yeah. Did they work together? Yes. Were they in the same household? Yes. Well, but the Bible says that there were 5 wise and 5 foolish. Now listen to me. I want us to understand this, because this is where the grace of God, Lord, and the importance and the understanding of being kept safe. Safe. Amen. So listen to me. Well, preacher, what happens to a child who has not yet reached the age of accountability, whether that be 3 months old, 3 days old, whether a child is killed in the womb? Preacher, what happens to them? Where do they go? Where do they spend eternity? Friends, listen to me. I'm glad today. That's why we have the safe, saving grace of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to me. We all, look at me, we all have a lamp. And praise God, when we are born into this world, we have enough oil to sustain the light that burns in the lamp. What is the oil? The oil is the Spirit of God. Right. Amen. It's enough to sustain us. Listen, I was saved as an 8-year-old boy at Beulah Baptist Church in Henderson, North Carolina. I'd been to church my whole life. I'd heard preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night since I could remember. Preaching. Not training union, not discipleship, not choir practice. I'd sat under preaching. Amen. Listen, and I remember all that preaching. But there was something different about one Sunday morning, Kenny.
Amen. Listen, he wasn't preaching at me. He was preaching to me. Amen. Well, listen, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost didn't fly over my head. And that morning that I felt, I felt the incompetence leave me. And I looked around me and I felt like I was alone. I felt like I was nervous. Amen. I knew that there was something different about me. Why? Because that was the day in my life that the oil ran out. Now listen, preacher, what do we do? Same, listen, it was no different than Adam and Eve when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible said that they became as gods, knowing good and evil. They seen their nakedness. Amen. That's what happens to an individual when you become lost. When you listen to me, and there's so much false conversion going on in the church today. Amen. We have conversion without conviction. Amen. We have conversion without conviction. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Preacher, do you believe that? Absolutely, entirely, I believe that. Amen. But I will tell you something. We have to reach the age. We have to understand that the gospel is important to us. It is not something the preacher can pray and we can repeat. And then we can accept. It is not an external conversion, but it's an internal conversion through a transformation of faith. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Well, listen to me. Being saved, born again, washed, sanctified, justified is not a language. It is not turning over a new leaf. It is not feeling better. It is knowing that, whoa, that the old man is gone and you have been raised anew through a new birth in Jesus Christ. I would hate to know. Hebrews 9:27, for it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. I would hate to know whenever the day of my hour of my death shall come, and I go stand before my Savior, Jesus Christ. I would hate to know that I'm going counting on the prayer of a preacher. Amen. I would hate to know that I'm going counting on the prayer of my mother. I would hate to know that I'm going counting on the prayer of my father. Amen. Oh, preacher, listen to me. That's not the way it works. Yes, it is. You see, somewhere down the line, we felt God needed help. Amen. We're going to help God. No man can come unto the Father unless the Father which sent him draw him. Amen. You've heard me preach this many times. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, we'll draw all men nigh unto me. So listen to me. It's left up to you and I who are truly born again and saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. It is left up to you and I to make sure that we disseminate the gospel to the lost in a dying world, that they can have a hope and hear and a promise of salvation one day to come. So listen, let's don't squelch our voice by judging the fruits of sin. Rather yet, let's present to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, which can deliver them. Amen. And listen, when Jesus delivers them, you know what else happens? When we are washed and justified and sanctified, the fruits of sin are eradicated because they've been born again. Not because we tried to fix their life. Listen, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. the wise and the foolish. Jesus, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that he bid James and John go with him just a little bit further. And the Bible says that he went away and he began to pray. And he came back and he found them sleeping. He went away again. He came back and he found them sleeping. Listen, he said, can you not even watch and pray with me for yet 1 hour? Finally, the third time Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said that he touched, glory to God, he touched heaven. Amen. The Bible said that his sweat became as great drops of blood. The angels came down from heaven and strengthened him because Calvary was yet in front of him. He came back to him and he said, sleep on. Listen, you know what the implication of that was? We were so sorry. We could not even pray for the Savior, listen, to prepare himself to save us. Amen. You know how good that is? Listen, preacher, well, I've been good enough. No! We couldn't even ask for a Savior. Jesus solely and wholly done it on his own. You see, if James and John, see, a lot of times we judge James and John for not being able to pray. But see, if James and John had been able to pray at that hour, then they would have thought that they would have had something to do with the deliverance of Jesus from the cross of Calvary. That's why they fell asleep, because Jesus had to go it alone. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Boy, listen to me, friends. Listen, there's coming a day. I'm no prophet, no prophet's son. I can't tell you Jesus is coming back today, tomorrow. I want you to hear one thing very clear from me. Neither can anybody else. Amen. The Bible said not even the angels of heaven know the day and time which we shall see his appearing. So when you turn on the television and you hear on the radio that, listen, we see this chronological period of time. We see definite, specific indices of when Jesus is returning. Hey, the Bible tells us, turn it off because they're lying. But preacher, they're so good. They're still lying. That's just what the Bible says. No man, nor the angels in heaven. Preacher, listen to me. We try our very best to study and understand the Scripture. But there are things that we just won't know till we get to heaven. Seal up these things. Is what he told John in one place, and write them not. Amen. So any man that says that they can disseminate unto me the entire fulfilled prophecy of the book of Revelation is lying. We don't know. Amen. And I'm glad that it's in God's hands. Listen. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. This is when it gets serious. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now see, this is where I want to drive home the point. And listen, I believe I made mention this last Sunday. People say, listen, well, there's people being deceived by the millions into hell. Listen to me. I don't disagree with that statement, but one thing I do disagree with is somebody that will believe. Listen to me. I don't believe there will ever be a person go to hell who thought they were going to heaven. Wait a minute, preacher. Do you believe that Calvary and Jesus and God sending his only begotten Son, that he would just extinguish it and close his eyes and never speak to somebody who was deceived to that point, who had never really heard the gospel and didn't understand? I don't believe it. The Bible tells us about a eunuch in the middle of a desert. Philip was yet a great many miles away in the middle of a great revival. The Bible says that he was caught up by the Spirit and delivered, at the chariot of the eunuch, and he looked up to the eunuch. The Bible says that the eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. Amen. And Philip went up to him and he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, lest some man show me?" Amen. So let me tell you, what I'm trying to say is this. Nobody, that is hungry for the gospel will go hungry. God will make a way. He will send somebody, some way, somehow, that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever heard of these missionaries who just come in one day, they sell everything they own, quit their jobs, and they pack up and they move to some country in the armpit of the world that you've never even heard about? Because why? Somebody was hungry. So God just went down the line saying, "You go feed them and you go feed them." And listen, that's what Jesus, that was the great command of the gospel. "Go ye out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." So listen to me. You may live a deceived life your whole life, but I believe this with absolute assurity. Before you go out into eternity, you will hear the true, unadulterated gospel and be revelated of your misunderstanding. Whether or not you choose to make a difference and make a change is entirely up to you. "And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. As much as I would love to see lost people saved, I have nothing to give." Let's get specific. My son claims his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife claims her salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. My daughter has not. It would be my heart's desire today, if I could give my life in exchange for the assurity of her eternal security, I would lay it down now. But I have nothing to give. But Jesus does. "But while the wise answered, say, not so, lest there be not enough for us, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." I want to have oil to burn when the time comes, instead of looking for a place to buy. Amen. I want to, listen to me, I want to make sure. Amen. Why? You a preacher. You pastor churches. Amen. Listen, I tell you what I do every once in a while, Kenny, don't you? Amen. I get out in the woods. I get off by myself and say, "Lord, hey, Dan, don't you? I just want to go back to Calvary. Amen. I want to go back to Bethel. Lord, I'm just coming home to make sure." That's what the process of sanctification is. And I've said this many times, and I'm kind of taking a tangent, and please excuse me. But if we keep having to go back to Bethel, it's good to go home. But see, the process of sanctification builds a ladder between Bethel and heaven. Amen. Isn't that what Jacob said? When he got saved in Bethel, the Bible said that he seen a ladder. He seen Jacob's ladder descending from the earth to heaven, and angels descending and ascending. Amen. Listen to me. There's been a few rungs put in my ladder. Amen. Listen to me. I'm not saying I'm way up here, but listen, me and God have had some experiences. Listen, and I've got to go through all the experiences of God all the way to get back down to Bethel. Amen. Well, listen to me. That's what being sanctified is. Listen, that is having an experience with God. Amen. Well, listen to me. Well, friend, listen. You say, well, preacher, we had a good service. We had a good meeting. Listen to me. I want you to hear what I say when I say this. Listen, preacher, that's the best service I've ever been in my life. Well, good. But don't set that as the standard. Amen. Because it can get better. Hey man, I promise you, there's better preaching than what I'm doing right now. Amen. There's better singing than what we sang this morning. Are you saying, preacher, it wasn't that good? No, I'm saying it was fantastic. It was awesome. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Can it get better? Yeah. Can the preaching get better? Yeah. Amen. So don't set a standard. And we say, well, we pinned the mark today. We can let go and back off. I want to see not just one or two. I want to see the whole church get to can't help it. Amen. Every one of you. So listen, the Bible tells us. I'm going to get through this. The Bible tells us, said, but and when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Preacher, when should I get saved? The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Amen. That's why I never, nor will you ever hear me tell a child, don't come pray till the Lord speaks to you. No. You come pray every time you want to. Because one day when the Lord does speak, you'll know exactly where to go and what to do, and you'll know His voice. You know, I praise the Lord for how He can. You know what? I was lost about 5 minutes. Amen. Some people, they stayed lost for years. I was lost maybe 5 minutes. Amen. So listen to me. God has a way. God knows your heart. God knows your intention. So don't falter and fail because of what some man has said. But trust the way of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in John 14, verse number 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, lest he come by me. It requires the blood of Jesus. It's a necessity. It's a must. We must have the oil. What is the oil? The oil is sold by the bridegroom. Where does the bridegroom get it? The oil was demonstrated to us through the bridegroom on Calvary. Amen. And listen, it came in the form of His precious blood. Amen. Jesus told us in John chapter 14, He said, it's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, then the Comforter cannot come. And He was speaking of the Holy Ghost. Stand to your feet this morning. I don't know your hearts. I don't know your intentions. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. Roger, if you would, come on out as they come with the song. I don't know the need in your life. I don't know the circumstances. But where exactly do you stand with the Lord this morning? What is your experience? Not the one beside you. What is your experience? When did the Lord speak to you? Listen to me, I tell you what, it does us all good. As I just made reference to this just a few minutes ago, it does us all good, every single one of us. It would do us all good, every one of us this morning, to go back to the pew where we sat, the day that we heard the gospel, the day that we run out of oil, and we heard the gospel of our Savior, and what we did with the gospel of our Savior. The prayer that we prayed, we may not be able to repeat every word of it. Listen to me, but we can remember the place, we can remember the time, we can remember the inflow of the Holy Ghost after we were born again and made anew. Preacher, I don't have that experience. You need to get saved. Preacher, that's an audaciously bold statement that should not be made in today's time. Listen to me. I want people to know that they are born again. It's not about numbers. It's not about the number of baptisms that we could turn into the association. So the association can turn around and turn them into the Georgia Baptist Association so we can brag about how many baptisms we've had. Listen to me. It's not about baptisms. It's about people being born again. Amen. You must be born again is what Jesus said. Church membership, communion, all baptism, although it's good and we should follow after it. Communion, it's good. We should follow after it. These are the ordinances of the church that Jesus said that we should do because He done them. And we should do in remembrance of Him. But listen, let me tell you something. I don't care if you know every frog and tadpole by name. If you've been baptized that many times, it will not get you to heaven. You must be born again. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus.